there's a ton to get to here because, I mean, there are moving pieces, and we're in that weird time of the early off season where everything's just in flux. So let's get with the most pertinent information. There was some thought that Louisville, Kentucky would be the home of the Toronto Raptors next season in the event that COVID keeps the Canadian-U.S. border shut. A Raptors player stood up and said, nope, the Breonna Taylor situation makes this a completely unacceptable destination. On to the next. Now we've got the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, suggesting that Missouri, presumably Kansas City, would be a good home for the Raptors. I'm thinking to myself, Michael, I know it's outside of St. Louis and not Kansas City, but there's a little town called Ferguson where a lot of racial injustice has occurred in that state. Where do you think the Raptors play next year? Or perhaps the more appropriate question is, what are the legitimate options as we sit here right now if Toronto can't be their home?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this stuff needs to be... You got to be careful about overthinking this. I think the primary goal, the primary objective is to be in Toronto. So, I think, you know, for a whole bunch of reasons, and obviously there are elements of that are more or less out of the Raptors' control. And so, you know, as you're planning to be in Toronto and have the benefits of being a BioSteel Center and have the benefits of having your NBA-ready arena and all of those things, you have to also adjust for the fact that that might not be available. But those standards still apply, right? So I think the reason you're hearing about a city like Louisville or about potentially Kansas City is, you know, those are cities that have NBA quality arenas that are empty. But I think a couple of things to keep in mind. One is it has to be logistically feasible and appealing. So you're not going to play a season in the Eastern Conference while traveling from, you know, Missouri. So that's not going to happen. Two, it has to be something the players as a group, I would think, they don't get the final say, but they do have a say. And so they have to sign off on it. And I think, you know, if you're not going to be in Toronto and you're going to be spending, you know, this isn't a bubble. You're not only there for 2 months. You're there for 6-7 months. You know, it's going to be somewhere that is appealing on a number of levels. So one option that got tossed around, or I shouldn't say tossed around, that John Hollinger from The Athletic mentioned, was the potential of being in sort of the New York, New Jersey area. And the attraction there is if the schedule is weighted towards your conference and your division, which is likely, given, you know, all the things at play, then if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, well, you're playing Brooklyn, you're playing the net, Brooklyn, the Knicks, Philly, Boston, like you're basically bus rides away. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that. But I would think as a wild card, not even a wild card, if you're Kyle Lowry, like if you're have some say in how the Raptors run things, and you're going to be spending a season not in Toronto, well, don't you want to be somewhere warm? Don't you want to be in somewhere like Florida, somewhere around, you know, the Raptors already did their bubble in Fort Myers area, and all the benefits that come with that. It's still easy travel. You're still, you know, fully in the East, and that, to me, would be somewhere that would be very sellable to everyone involved, if you're not in Toronto. But far and away, the number one option is to be in Toronto, and I think every option is going to be exhausted, or every avenue is going to be exhausted to try and make that happen.
The NBA said they want to start December 22nd. I wanted to know how possible that would be, because we're hearing a lot of players speak out, especially the latest. Lakers guard Danny Green has said that he's not going to show up. LeBron's not going to show up. Their veteran core does not agree with this date. It's going to be a 2-month turnaround from the last game, October 11th. Is that what the majority of the league feels, you think, or is this just the champions, you know, not being given enough time? What's the usual turnaround, Michael? About 4 months, right?
Yeah. Well, if for even for the team that typically wins it, you're done, you know, mid June, and you're in training camp October 1. So that's July, August, September. It's almost 4 months. So yeah, this is an unusual circumstance. And did the majority feel that way? No way. Right? There's basically two, and maybe if you go to the conference, the teams appeared in the conference finals, maybe four teams that have a legitimate gripe about, coming, you know, a relatively quick turnaround. But it would still be, you know, I guess it'd be a full, I mean, it might be 10 weeks, right? So it's not nothing, but keep in mind there was a 4 month break, prior to going back to work. So, I mean, I think keep it, you know, when the idea of first playing in a bubble, first playing without fans, you know, LeBron James is, we aren't doing that. But then as reality sets in, and by the way, this is how we've kind of, the league has kind of recognized this is the most feasible way forward in terms of trying to salvage some kind of revenue structure for what's going to be a very down year revenue-wise. And by the way, since you share roughly 50-50 in revenue players, this is what we recommend. I think everyone involved would fall in line. Now, they wouldn't have to like it, but you know, I think if the league can make the case that this is a way that we can enhance our revenues by $500 million because we fulfill the most of our TV obligations possible, we can sprinkle that $250 million around you, Danny Green, and that means your escrow is, 20% instead of 25%. What do you think? You want to come? And by the way, Danny Green will be there.
Michael Grange of Sportsnet with us. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So a lot of us, Michael, would look at running a professional sports franchise as a pipe dream, something that is not attainable, but how much fun would it be if we got to be that person in that position? For Masai Ujiri, it seems like it's relatively small potatoes. I mean, this is somebody who could, well, he's tremendously involved in philanthropy already. He could expand that tenfold. He could run for office. The world is Masai Ujiri's oyster, is the point that I'm making here. Where are we at with a contract extension, where his thought process is at for what he wants to do upon the expiry of his current deal with the Raptors in a year?
I mean, I short answer is I don't know. Masai Ujiri has not called me up recently to lay that all out for me. you know, based on conversations I've had on this issue the past 6 months or so, I'm not under the impression anything's changed in that, you know, he's fully willing and maybe even interested in going all the way to free agency. In other words, if you're the most coveted talent, let's say, in this space, what do players do in this situation? They go to free agency and they examine all their options with maximum leverage. So I'm not saying that's Masai Ujiri's goal, but I'm very confident to say that he's very willing to do that in the absence of a better option. I would say that I think, you know, there is a kind of an order of business going on where, you know, the longer he is unsigned, in a way, he has more power, right? So he can make sure that Nick Nurse gets exactly what he wants to get, that the rest of the basketball operations staff get exactly what they deserve. Bobby Webster, who still remains unsigned, same category. And, you know, and I think it's not to be, you know, a small factor in this is we are in a pretty flat to, I don't even know, flat. Like MLSC, their revenues are off, just like every other organization's are off in sports. And so, you know, I think tactically, the last thing Masai Ujiri would want to do is sign on the dotted line, and then a week later he goes to present his budget to sign everybody else, and they're like, "Wow, we got to cut back here, here, and here." So I think, you know, there's probably some assurances that want to be gained, and that's probably part of all of this too. But to your larger point, I mean, he is going to have options. He'd have options today, but like, not so many of those options would guarantee you at least $15 million a year U.S., right? So, and give you a platform from which you can pursue all the other interests you have. So, I mean, Masai Ujiri can do anything he wants. You know, I think this is one of those ones, again, you can't overthink this too much. The idea that he would sort of pack up and leave the NBA to pursue another agenda, at this stage of his career, I'd be surprised. So I think there's a big contract out there waiting for him. I think he's going to have all the power to, you know, kind of do all the stuff that he's passionate about outside of, his basketball role. And, I would still be surprised, given the whole landscape, if he's not back with the Raptors, you know, and this deal gets done eventually.